Hello and welcome to the It Depends podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Goldsmith. I am the author of It Depends, Writing on Technology Leadership 2012 to 2022. I'm a CTO and have been for many years. I'm also an advisor to companies, a speaker, and et cetera. And this podcast is delivering the audiobook chapter by chapter for It Depends. That audiobook is available if you want to hear the whole thing without the stuff around it from Audible or Spotify or wherever you get your audiobooks. There's also a newsletter. So the podcast comes out every other week. On the weeks the podcast does not come out, there's a newsletter. The newsletter is also serializing the book. It's serializing the print book. And the print book is available from Amazon and bookshop.org and Barnes & Noble and every bookstore in the world, as far as I've been able to tell. So you feel free to buy those books through the podcast, through the newsletter. You will get the book as well, chapter by chapter. The newsletter is out of order from the book, and the podcast is in order. This week, I'm exceptionally excited. This is a chapter I've been really looking forward to for a long time. This article, Becoming a CTO, is by far one of the most popular articles I've ever written. Unsurprisingly, a lot of people are really interested in how do you become a CTO if you're an engineering manager or a director or even a lead that's kind of starting on that path. The road is not very clear. If you're a developer, you become a better developer. Maybe you become a more senior developer. Maybe you become an architect. Maybe you become a fellow or something like that. If you see those people in your company, there's probably more than one of them. You probably maybe interact with them a little bit. You can understand them and maybe understand their role a little bit better. The CTO role is a little bit hard for people who aren't in the job to understand it. And having mentored a lot of CTOs and mentored people into that role, I can tell you a lot of people who are CTOs don't really quite understand the job as well as they should. Because the CTO is working with the executive team, they're interfacing a lot sort of external to the company, especially if you're in a bit of a bigger company. And when I say bigger, I don't mean 10,000 people. I mean bigger like a few hundred people. Most of the people in the engineering team aren't interacting with the CTO on a regular basis. Even when I've been in smart companies and the company I work in now, we're not an exceptionally large company. I feel like I try to talk to everybody at least once in a while, but I mean there's individual people like I just don't get the opportunity to speak to for months. That's just kind of the way it is. And so for one of them, what is it that I do all day? They may have no idea. And if one of them someday wanted to be a CTO, it's kind of hard from the outside to understand what the job is. And for that reason, I get asked this question a lot, like how do I become a CTO? What is the CTO role? What can you tell me about it? Like, what's the path? I wrote this article because I had just gone through giving this advice to somebody that used to work for me that was now being approached as a potential CTO. And it made me really think about it. I've been thinking about it generally a lot because, as I said, I mentor a lot of CTOs. And of course, I'm thinking about my own role and my own development. But what I realized, and what you hear in this article, is me really thinking about, well, there is no path. There is no one path. Anyone that tells you, here are the steps you take to become a CTO, is wrong. I'm just going to say it, is wrong. Anyone who says, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this, then you'll become a CTO. That's just not how it works. It's different. The role is, I can tell you, having been a CTO now in several companies, it's different. The job is different in every company. Yeah, there's a lot that's the same. But as I say in the chapter, a lot of what the role is more defined by the expectations of the CEO and potentially the board. So my job is mostly, in every company, is mostly defined by what the CEO thinks I should be doing. And obviously, if they want somebody who's very different from me, I'm not going to get that job. So there is some similarity in the CTO jobs I do. But the job I do versus the job of a friend because I have lots of friends who are CTOs now in a similar size company, like what I do all day and what they do all day might be completely different. And it's 100% what the expectations of their bosses, right? Just like a lot of other jobs. And people don't quite understand that. And that's an important thing to understand. And because of that, there is no one direct path. My path, and I talk about it in the chapter, like many people, I started as a developer. I was a developer, eventually became a lead, became a team manager, kind of went back to being a developer. I took a really circuitous path. I was manager, I was lead, or I was a developer, I was lead, I was a developer again, I was a manager, I was went back to being an IC again. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do for a long time. And I kept going back and forth between kind of management roles and non-management roles. And because of that, I maybe took a bit longer to get to this level than I could have. I will say once I decided, I'm on the management path, this is what I want to do, it was a pretty straightforward kind of thing because I knew what I was doing and I knew what my goals were and I was working actively towards them. But even then, the path I took, I was at a big company. I was at a 10,000 person company. I knew I wasn't going to be the CTO of that company, but I knew that I had the opportunity to grow in management and learn how to manage. And so in that company, I went from manager to senior manager to director. And then I reached a point where I said, well, someday I'll be a VP, maybe, but I may have to wait about 15 years because it's not that many VPs. I got to wait for somebody to retire or get fired, which didn't happen. So, all right, maybe it's time for me to move on. Another company approached me. I joined a director there, became VP. That was Spotify. I was lucky. If I'd gone to another company, I could have become a VP there. But, you know, if it hadn't been, there was some thought to choosing Spotify. But when I chose Spotify, it wasn't Spotify. It was this company in Sweden doing stuff I was interested in. I was also, there's an element of luck, absolutely. But because it was a well-known name by the time I left, now I was getting offered regularly CTO job, which was what I was trying to get to. Could you follow that path? No, you couldn't. Like I said, that was the path for me from kind of joining the industry to becoming a CTO took me, I guess, 21 years. Do you need to take 21 years to become a CTO? No, absolutely not. Could I have been a CTO before I'd been doing this job 21 years? Maybe, probably. I would have had to, again, decided earlier, had the sort of self-awareness or self-determination to decide this was my path and then follow it with the determination and just drive that I had earlier, maybe. Are there CTOs who are younger than me that became CTOs? Oh, absolutely, all over the place. And that's cool, like, totally. Are they doing the same job as me? Not as many as you'd think. A lot of CTOs I know are at companies the size of companies, you know, the size of the company I am. There are certainly a lot younger than me, but not a lot of 20-year-olds doing that job. But there's plenty of 20-year-old CTOs in much smaller companies. It's a great, you know, that may eventually become a CTO in a bigger company. And in this chapter, I talk very specifically about the companies I know well. These are companies I advise. These are CTOs I mentor. This is the jobs I've had, right? And I also, like everything in the book, I don't tell you this is how it is. I tell you this is what I've seen and this is what I've experienced. Your mileage may vary. But I don't talk about big companies. I worked at Microsoft. I don't talk about being the CTO of Microsoft. Or I actually don't even know they have one. I was at Adobe. I don't talk about the CTO of Adobe. I know the CTO of Adobe quite well, but his path, very different. And his job, honestly, is going to be very different than maybe the CTO of Oracle or CTO of some other company. And I don't talk about those so much because if very, very few people are doing that. And I'll tell you, to be honest, if you were hoping someday to become the CTO of IBM or the CTO of Microsoft or the CTO of Apple, again, I don't even know if Apple has one. I don't think they do. But assuming the fact that I don't know that should tell you something. What you should go do is go work at Apple or Microsoft or Adobe for 30 years and hopefully work your way up. they're not often bringing in people from other companies to do that job. That's people who grew up in that system, who understand that system. If that's your ultimate goal, I want to be the CTO of IBM. First, make sure IBM actually has a CTO or the business that you want to be part of at IBM, and then go get a job there and then just work there for your whole career. If you want to be a CTO at a small or mid-sized company, that's what I'm talking about, because that's what I know and that's what I do. Let's get into this chapter. I describe the role of the CTO at an early stage company and the CTO at a mid-stage company. I am a CTO of mid-stage companies. That's kind of what I do. That's kind of my sweet spot. That's where I'm happy. I like teams that are big enough that we can do big things and we can build big projects, but small enough that I can still know everybody and at least get to know the people on the team. When I've managed really, really large teams, I felt a little too disconnected from the work and a little too disconnected from the people. And I just didn't like it as much. Plenty of people like to do that, just not me. I really like this kind of mid-stage company. And so that's where I continue to go. I'll tell you, you know, just like an actor, you get typecast. As CTO, I get typecast. Like, I am the person you bring in to this stage company to help you get to this stage, or the person that you bring in to solve these kind of problems. That's fine. Like, that's great. Like, that's my sweet spot. That's what I enjoy. So it doesn't bother me at all. In the chapter, I describe the CTO role at the early stage. I know a lot of early stage CTOs. I've been an early stage CTO. It's a very distinct role. It's a great starting place for you. If this is where you want to go, you have to make sure you continue to develop and grow. And again, there's also a little bit of luck in that you're at a successful company where you can grow your team and grow with your team, if you're using that as a way to move into larger companies. But it's a lot of folks doing that role. I have friends who always do that role. That's their sweet spot. That's what they love. When a team gets beyond 20 developers, they're like, this is too big. I don't like this anymore. And they go find another early stage company because that's what they like. I did that role. It wasn't for me. It just wasn't what I thought it might be something that I'd done an early stage company before. I thought this might be a good thing to try again, get my hands dirty, like prove I could do it. I was doing it as a favor for a friend who's a VC. I did it, didn't like it, moved on. Honestly, it just wasn't. I realized this really isn't for me. And so I'm more of the mid-stage CTO I talk about. Again, I mentor a lot of my peers. I have tons of friends who do this job. I do this job. So, you know, I also feel very comfortable talking about it, that role as well. And I describe in the chapter. Even so, you hear me being very vague about the responsibilities. And that is knowing hundreds of people in this role at the mid-stage and early stage. We can sit down and I can have me and any other person doing my job at a company the same size, same revenue, same industry. We can sit down and talk about our jobs and there'll be some similar things, but there's a lot that's going to be different. Our jobs are going to be really different. And part of it is our distinct skill sets, and part of it is the way the CEO who hired us thinks our job should be, and some of it might be the board and what the board thinks the responsibilities are. This role varies a lot from company to company. So you see me cage things a lot. Oftentimes the job does this. Often I see this. And that's because I'm picking out the things I do see often, but there's no guarantee. This is the way it always is. Again, coming back to what I said earlier, if you read any article or any book and it tells you this is how you do it, they're wrong. They're just wrong. And that's why I never tell you this is how you do. This is how you become a CTO. My path to CTO, guaranteed going to be different than yours when you get to that role. And your path to CTO when you get to that role is going to be different from everyone else you talk to. It just is. We each have our own paths to get there. There is no one way to do it. So I'm trying to get people into the idea of that and not trying to find a one-size-fits-all solution. At the same time, I'm also trying to tell you, these are the skills that a CTO needs. Because as I said, CTOs do this job that if you're a developer or even a manager in a company, you're not interacting with the CTO on a day-to-day level, because a lot of my job is interacting with my peers. It's working with product. It's working with finance. It's working with marketing. It's working with operations. I'm spending a lot of time of my time working with the other functions, representing engineering or working with vendors or working with investors. And you don't see that. You're not in those meetings. And so you only, if you're a manager or even maybe a director, you'd see more. But as a manager, you see very little of what that job is. So you don't understand that. And if you're a manager who wants to become a CTO, because you can't see what the job is in a day-to-day kind of way, like you could other jobs, like your director, it's really hard to know, like, what skills should I be building or what do I need to understand? So that's really the goal of the chapter, is to give you that insight of these are the skills you need to build that will help you. Having these skills doesn't guarantee the job, but if you get into the job and you don't have these skills, you're probably going to struggle. And again, I mentor a lot of CTOs, and this is where I've kind of, one, realized that I had, for various reasons, worked in cross-functional teams and developed these skills, partially because I was interested, partially because I wanted to understand this stuff. More so than I knew, I need to establish these skills to be a successful CTO. It was, I'm working with these people and they don't understand what I'm talking about and I don't understand what they're talking about. I should solve that problem. I should understand their jobs a little bit better so that I can interface with them better. So I developed those skills. And because I developed those skills, when I became a CTO, the job's been a lot easier for me. A lot of the mentoring I'm doing with other CTOs is helping them work through why they're not being effective with their peers or getting really negative feedback from their peers because they don't know how to talk to them. If you don't know how to talk marketing, you can't expect a marketing person to understand engineering. And if you don't understand the motivations of the sales team in like a B2B company, you are going to be in trouble because they have expectations on engineering. And if you'll constantly find yourself in a very defensive place. And I work with a lot of CTOs in a mentoring way or through my consulting practice, where I'm helping them kind of figure this stuff out they've never managed a large team, helping them figure out how to organize their teams or how to scale their leadership and their management. These are very common problems for CTOs who haven't built those skills yet. So that's a lot of what I'm talking about in this chapter, isn't just this is how you become a CTO, because how you become a CTO is going to be different than how I became a CTO. But what I'm talking a lot about in this chapter is these are the skills that you need to develop to be an effective CTO. And you should be focusing on those. And what my own experience is, as I develop those skills, my readiness for more senior leadership became very apparent to those I worked around, because I was getting much better at cross-functional work, as being a cross-functional leader, as articulating the needs of the business to my engineering team, at project management, at product management for my own team. Those skills made me more visible in the organization, which then made it easier for people to see me in more senior roles. Is this going to work for you? Maybe, hopefully. Again, it depends. So here now is the chapter on becoming a CTO. Becoming a CTO, originally published on November 1st, 2021. A former coworker reached out to me recently. They're a director of engineering at a mid-sized startup and just got their first headhunter inquiry for a CTO role. Having never been in the role before, they wanted to know what the position was like and how to prepare for the interviews. I realize that while there are some books on technology leadership careers, there aren't many resources explaining the most senior levels. I will attempt to provide some insight and advice for those interested in someday becoming a CTO. I've been a CTO for 5.5 years. I've worked at 100,000 person company, seed stage startups, and many of the variants in between. I started as a developer and followed a traditional path of moving up to more senior levels on the development track, and then moving to lead, engineering manager, director, VP, and now chief technology officer. I've been the CTO at three different companies in two countries and three parts of the technology industry. I'm part of a few networks where I meet and talk with CTOs of all stages and sizes of companies. I've learned that one reason there isn't a good reference for the role of the CTO is that the size of the company and the expectations of the CEO define the job. Some of my role expectations and responsibilities are like those of many of my peers at similar size companies. However, there are also significant differences in the expectations from our executive peers and boards. Because of the variability of the role, I will broadly share my direct experiences joined with an understanding of the expectations of other CTOs that I know. The early stage company CTO is often the developer in chief. At earlier stage companies, the CTO is often the technical co-founder. They're likely the developer who built many of the earlier versions of the software and helped hire the original development team. Their responsibilities are primarily technical, driving architecture, doing advanced development tasks, and creating technical vision. Frequently, the first CTO of the company is hired for their ability to code and not their ability to grow or manage a team. Depending on the person, they may also lead the development team. Still, often the team's management will eventually move to another person, an experienced manager who may report to the CTO or be a peer to them. The early stage CTO is the leading technical voice for the company externally, especially if they are a co-founder. They talk to investors and potential partners and meet with potential vendors. If they also manage the development team, they will solely represent engineering in the senior management team. As a result, they will have responsibility for the decisions made by the engineering team. Nevertheless, if they do not manage the team directly, they may not be involved in the decisions around the day-to-day operations. A mistake that inexperienced founding CTOs often make is that they don't understand their role beyond coder-in-chief. They focus solely on the technology and are not active participants in the company's leadership. As a result, they do not work cross-functionally. CTOs fixated on the how without the why or what will not be in the role very long once a company grows. If they have no experience leading an engineering team or organization, the early stage CTO will be challenged to grow with the company. If they cannot scale, eventually they will end up in a subordinate role reporting to a more experienced CTO hired to replace them. The mid-sized company CTO is responsible for leading the organization, corporate strategy, and making technical decisions. Once a company reaches a size at which it needs new processes and structures, the scrappy leaders who help get the company off the ground are often replaced with more experienced leaders, knowledgeable in taking companies through the next growth stage. If the early stage CTO hasn't grown into the larger role, they will be part of that replaced group. The mid-sized company CTO is a full-fledged executive team member working cross-functionally and meeting with partners, investors, and customers. Frequently, the mid-sized company CTO will also manage the engineering organization. The CTO is responsible for setting technical direction, making sure good architectural decisions are being made, and establishing best practices and working methods. They are still expected to have good technical depth, but don't often actively contribute to shipping code. A red flag for me personally is seeing a CTO role description where the expectation is to lead a 50-plus person organization while actively coding on the product. It means the executive team does not have appropriate expectations for the role. A mid-sized company CTO spends significant time establishing culture and practices for the teams they are responsible for. They are also very directly accountable for the organization's decisions and its track record of delivery. The CTO meets internally with members of other functions such as sales, marketing, HR, and finance to share direction for the organization and get feedback. The CTO is responsible for the administration of the teams, including the budget. The CTO is also responsible for hiring, performance management, and team structure, and may be very active in their team's recruitment and interview processes, especially in a scale-up type of company. A CTO leading a more extensive development organization must be a generalist, understanding different roles and responsibilities. Their remit may include corporate IT and technical support. In some companies, they may also manage the business analytics, security, product, and UX teams. A CTO who is too focused on the areas closest to their background or does not respect non-coding functions will not succeed. As a mid-sized company CTO, you will often spend as much time with your peers and their teams as you spend with your own. As a result, you'll need to learn about their functions and how your teams can work together. CTOs who stay in their lane will not be seen as an equal member of the senior leadership team and may lose their say in decisions that affect the organization. It is very unusual for someone to move into a mid-sized company CTO role without having some experience leading a multi-level development organization and working with other business functions. Growing or moving into the CTO role. If you are a manager or manager of managers with the goal of being a CTO, there are a few things you can start to focus on that will help you on your path. Learn about the business your company is in. Offer to sit in on sales calls, on user research interviews. Try to understand the company's financials when the CFO presents them. If you can't, make a friend in the finance team and ask them to explain them to you. Understand the key performance indicators, not only for your team, but also for the teams around you. Learn about the other functions. Get recommendations of reading or conference talks from your peers in the product, UX, and marketing teams. Think about how their work influences yours and vice versa. Respect and learn other technology areas aside from your own. If you lead an area you don't have personal experience in, approach the people in that function with respect and a genuine desire to understand their work. They want to help you know what they do and how they do it. Hone your craft. Hopefully, you're already working on deepening your skill as an engineering manager or director. But are you trying to understand the bigger picture? Read other companies' public handbooks, engineering blog posts, and conference presentations about their ways of working. What practices are interesting? What can you try in your team? How do you think they will scale, or what issues do you think they may have? Ask your CTO if there are tasks they can delegate to you. The best way to learn the job is to do the job. Even better is having someone who is already doing the job explain to you how they perform it so you can help them. Start thinking in terms of strategy. The main difference between the expectations of line managers and senior managers is the emphasis on strategic thinking. Executives contribute to the company's strategic planning and use their understanding of the company's goals and current situation to make sure that their teams are setting up the conditions for the company's success. Strategic thinking is a learnable skill, but it takes practice. The rewards of being a CTO. Being a CTO is not what I imagined it to be when I first decided it was my career goal. It is a lot of work, carries much stress, has fewer perks than you might think, and can be somewhat lonely. However, it is also the most personally rewarding job I have ever had. With the challenges, there is also incredible responsibility, tons to learn, the ability to influence a company's direction, and the chance to affect the lives of dozens or hundreds of people on your team. I have yet to regret my choice to pursue this role. Thanks for listening to the chapter. Hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully the explanation beforehand was helpful. I know there's a need for this information because it continues to be one of the most popular things I've ever written. It's not the most popular, but it's certainly top three. And that tells me that people really want more information here. I do plan to write more. My new writing has way slowed down as I've been trying to get this book out. But I do think I'll end up probably writing a lot more about the CTO role as I have seen it, as I mentor it, just because I just know that there is more information now than there ever was, certainly than when I became a CTO. But it not all of it is the highest quality. And if you're interested, I hope you are checking out lots of different things. Obviously, you know, I'm just a voice. I'm just one person. My opinions, there's other people with other opinions. You should read voraciously. You should listen to podcasts, interviews with CTOs. If you look for my name, I'm on a lot of those. So you can get lots of different perspectives on the role. The one thing, again, I will always caution from me or from anybody else is take what we say and say, does this make sense to my situation? Does this make sense to who I am or who I wish to be? What advice should I keep? And what advice from this should I disregard? And anyone who tells you, this is the way to do it, you do it exactly this way, and you'll get the exact same results as me, is wrong. Just wrong. That includes me. If I say, this is how you do this thing, then you should go, okay, well, it worked for Kevin. It's not going to work for me. Or it may work for me, but it may not, right? And if I tell you do this and you'll be successful, I would never say that because I think that's wrong. But if somebody tells you this is what you do, and if you do it exactly the way I did it, you're going to be successful, they're wrong. They just are. But even those people, and I listen to some of that stuff and I read some of that stuff, I'll look at what they did and I'll go, I'm going to ignore this, or I'm going to say, oh, well, they did this way, but they were at a company that was 3,000 people and they had these kind of resources and they were already at this place in the market. That's not going to make sense for me. I can't expect the same results as they did, as they received, because I'm in a completely different situation. But this idea is really interesting. Well, how would I take this idea and apply it to my own situation? And I'm going to have to change it, but it's kind of cool. Let's figure out how we do that. That's great. You should do that all over the place. Steal my ideas, steal everybody's ideas, recontextualize them for your own situation and make them work for you. That's what I'm always going to recommend. And if you come up with a new way of doing it, write your own book, write your blog post, share that knowledge so someone else can steal your ideas. That's how we all grow. Thanks again for listening. I want to give a plug. Obviously, the whole podcast is a plug for the book, but I am speaking in September at the Leading Eng conference in New York City. You can find more information at leaddev.com. And I'm speaking specifically on the director to CTO path, how to travel it or how to mentor it if you are a CTO. I've spoken at that conference before. I helped motivate Lead Dev to actually create that conference because I love the Lead Dev conference, but I was like, we need something for more senior managers, and complain to them about it. And so I'm really excited about speaking at that conference again. The White October folks are so awesome. So I always love doing anything I can with them. So hopefully if you're going to be there, I'll be happy to meet you. I think they set up office hours for me during the day, so you can do that. Or if you're in New York, I'll be there that first week of September and happy to meet up as well. If you have questions about this chapter or anything, please send them to contact@itdependsbook.net. And I'm happy to answer your questions. I can answer them on the podcast or in the newsletter. Always happy to do that, especially about this chapter, because I know a lot of people are interested in this, and I'm happy to share my knowledge. Thanks again. I'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Please, again, subscribe, rate, share episodes of this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Thanks again. I'll see you soon. Thanks to Answers to April for the music in this podcast. This podcast is a production of Unit Circle Media.